I thought we would close our course in church history, necessarily telescoped, is with the Holy Fathers, call them plans, for the year 2000. This, of course, is a summary. I have chosen 14 items for special mention and a brief commentary. What this is an address given by the present Holy Father on April the 22nd of this year. It's a symposium sponsored by the Congregation for the Clergy, which, as you know, is in charge of catechetics in the Catholic Church. And the prefect of that congregation is now my Vatican Superior, Cardinal Sanchez, who spoke, as you know, some time ago in the Detroit and Ann Arbor area. As you will gather from this synopsis of the Pope's address, two things stand out. Holy Father's great hope for the 21st century as being the great missionary century of the Church's history. When you think that after 2,000 years, most of the human race has not even heard the gospel proclaimed. India alone, some 800 million non-Christians. In China, 1 billion people. So first, the great hope of the Vicar of Christ is for the Church's missionary apostolate in the 21st century. The second is his great trust. There will be mainly the laity who will provide both the inspiration and the instruction which this global missionary enterprise will require. One reason, by the way, that I'm here, one reason we're having our classes, I see in you people the hope of the 21st century. You and, of course, your children and children's children. And I'm seeing it more than ever, especially in the last 15 or so years. And with a widespread breakdown of religious orders, of the 362 women's religious communities in the United States, only God knows, but I believe about one half will disappear within the next generation. Priests in our nation, widespread shortage. I gave a retreat to 100 homeschooling parents at the seminary of the Seattle Archdiocese with at least 300 rooms for the students. Not one seminarian in that huge seminary. Zero. But the Holy Spirit is at work. And He's at work in a very special way in you people. We begin then following on page 46 in the top of 47. Let me read and then pause and underline what I have. The entire church in all her components lives in the mystery of a missionary communion. This means an organic communion analogous to that of a living, functioning body, characterized by a diversity and a complementarity of vocations and states of life. I have underlined a complementarity of vocations and states of life. The different states of life in the Catholic Church are meant to complement one another. They are different, even diverse, but they are meant to, well, form a total whole, W-H-O-L-E, where there are different parts in this church for different purposes, for different purposes. Now the key word there is vocations. Hear it. We all have a vocation. All of us. All of us. A vocation means a call from Christ to a particular mission. Vocation is the call. Mission is ascending by Christ to do what He wants done. The lay people have their vocation and the corresponding mission, no less than the clergy or religious. But, as the Pope says at the beginning, the vocations yours and mine are to complement one another. For one thing, I couldn't begin to do what I'm doing or trying to do for the church without the laity in so many ways providing their services. That doesn't mean, though it includes, getting to the metro airport. I don't drive a car. My fellow Jesuits, to get a ride to the airport or a drive back, put up a sign on the bulletin board asking for some member of the community to volunteer. My 6 years, I have not once had to put up a sign. There are generous people, including some present here, who make it possible for me, well, to get to where I'm going without driving anything. And this is what the Holy See keeps telling me for 25 years. This past Monday, received two letters from my Vatican superior, Cardinal Sanchez, who I mentioned earlier. He wants, really wants, a magazine, catechetical magazine, for the whole English-speaking world. But as you know, if you don't know, let me tell you. It is one thing to have ideas. It's something else to find people to carry those ideas into practice. We need workers, and we don't have a lot of mazuma, a lot of money. In any case, the Pope brings out that we all have vocations, and each of our vocations which means a mission, is complementary, supportive to the vocations of others. Others could not do what they're doing without us, and we could not do without them. Secondly, at the end of the same paragraph, the baptized in the work of building up the mystical body of Christ and in courageously proclaiming the gospel to the world. The Holy Father is referring here to the laity and drawing on the document of Vatican II. I dare say a not much quoted document for obvious reasons, because it spells work. Of building up the mystical body of Christ. I keep repeating, you don't close 42 parish churches in the Archdiocese of Detroit without a reason. Many reasons. And one reason in context is that the laity have not exercised their zeal the way they could and should have. Sometimes I would walk to the ophthalmologist 2 miles from the university along 6 Mile Road. I counted 14 storefront churches along 6 Mile Road. Catholic churches going out of existence. As I just mentioned, the huge Seminary of Seattle. Empty. Now we can blame the bishops and priests. They can be blamed. But we should also look to the laity. And not so much assess blame as inspire zeal and telling them what they can and should do. I like the word courageously proclaiming the gospel to the world. I cannot tell you how embarrassed I have been over the years. I do so much flying. I'm in so many airports. You name them, in the United States and also in Europe, on occasion in Asia. To see these cults is actually a compliment. The most strange and bewildering sort of, what shall we call them, fanatics. Giving out literature, or going from house to house. And like, for example, the Mormons, spending up to 2 years at their own expense, going to a foreign country. This theme has come up more than once, as you know, in our lectures on Sundays. And how well I know, because I know human nature. I say it, it's recorded, and nothing happens. The need, and for courageous proclaiming the gospel. In our first class in January, is that the 15th of January, our first class? Somebody would remind me to bring cartoons. A young man, but there are 3 of them cooperating. Publishing, coming out with very clever cartoons on the Catholic faith. Let's do something to break the ice. The opposition is clever. I can even use the word is generous, is courageous. They couldn't care less who says what. They're out promoting their own, sometimes strange, brand of religion. Where are we? Number 3. The point that I've underlined is, in the next paragraph, you must look with joyful gratitude on the development in this century of the lay apostolate. The Pope is saying far more than most of us realize. There have so far been 20 centuries in the Church's history. The 20th century has nothing to compare with it. You know, the previous 1900 years before, in terms of the numbers and the zeal and the generosity of lay people in evangelizing and catechizing. And even the widespread breakdown of religious orders, and they have broken down, believe you me. For 100 vocations to women's communities in 1965, in 1994, there were 9. A drop of 91% in vocations to women's religious communities. And no wonder. The way they look, the way they dress, the way they behave. What self-respecting, intelligent girl who has a faith would bother, right? She wants to be a nun. But this very fact has inspired, under divine influence, a corresponding zeal. One of my hopes from this conference is that those of you that are already doing something will be further motivated to do more. Those who are not yet involved, to become involved in lay apostolic work, which is an ocean in magnitude and potential. In other words, says the Pope, the development in this century of the lay apostolate has no counterpart ever before in the Church's history. Now, before this presentation is over by the present Holy Father, he's going to make it very clear, that neither bishops nor priests on the one hand, nor laity on the other hand, mistake or confuse, say, the priesthood with the laity. And just because you use the word ministry, and now so many parish bulletins, minister for this and minister for that, Miss such and such, or Ms. so and so, is, well, minister for whatever she is, quote, minister for. Living as we are in a thoroughly, deeply, profoundly Protestantized nation, where there is no distinction between the priesthood and the laity, we got to know what we're talking about. The Catholic Church is not Presbyterianism or Lutheranism. But the laity, qua laity, have a role to perform in the Church, which they've never had before in the history of Christianity. Number 4. Hence the demand is felt for an appropriate collaboration of the lay faithful. In other words, the Pope is addressing himself to the laity. in a way and in a degree that I would say 100 years ago, popes just did not talk this language. But watch it. The main reason, as the Pope will point out before he finishes, the main reason is not that there is such a drastic drop of vocation, say, to the religious life, or the loss of so many priestly vocations. These are facts of life. But they are not the reason, they are not the fundamental reason why he, the Pope, or we as Catholics are promoting and insisting on a development of the lay apostolate. No. The lay apostolate is a God-given responsibility. And had the lay apostolate been developed as it should have been over the past generations, then we would not have had the tragic breakdown of so many religious communities, or also among the priests. Because, for one thing, as I found out, there are, of course, exceptions. But depending on the training that the children get at home, depending on the strength of their Catholic upbringing, we all have a free will. But those two who go on for the religious life or the priesthood, they then provide for the stability which is so desperately needed. It is not enough, say, to be ordained a priest. The man must remain in the priesthood and faithful to his commitments, all of which presumes that the upbringing from childhood on has been thoroughly sound and authentically Catholic. We go on. Hence the demand is felt for an appropriate collaboration of the lay faithful, and then, in the same compound sentence, to respect the sacramental limits and difference of charisms and ecclesial rites. What's the Pope saying? We better keep our eyes open and our minds clear. Yes, there is work to be done for the laity. There has been over the centuries that they could have engaged in, but for whatever reason were not involved in. But even as we talk about involving the laity in the apostate of the church, let's be clear that we don't mix up what belongs to, say, priests as priests and what belongs to the laity, and therefore not to have the laity involved in things which are not part of their state of life. Here as I'm talking, and I know how well I know what's behind Holy Father's words, how very well I know and I'm speaking of the one country where this has become a revolution. If there is one thing that Protestantism brought into the world. It was the removal of the sacramental priesthood from Christianity. My favorite definition of Protestantism is priestless Christianity. That's it. Having done that, and then now it's, well, over 200 years since our nation has been established. But our laws, I'm talking about the original laws, going back to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, certainly not drawing on the principles of the Catholic Church. It was simply assumed, and has been now for the two centuries of Catholic history, that there is no one who has authority over the state as the Catholic Church assumes. And who has this authority over the state? It's the Church. When then they talk about keeping clear the distinction between the laity and the priesthood, we're not indulging in rhetoric, because behind the priesthood is not only the wassail, the ordination of the men to the priesthood, empowering them, for example, to change bread and wine into the living body and blood of Christ, where those who are not ordained don't have that power. Empowering them to absolve from sins, where those who don't have that power just cannot absolve. But it's much deeper. It is that the priesthood is part of a society founded by Christ with authority to teach and demand obedience to his doctrine, and his doctrine is very demanding on human nature. And in one civilized country after another, I repeat, once civilized country, including our own, the state is making laws and juridical decisions that are open contradiction to what this society, which is ruled by those who are ordained bishops and priests, which that society simply says is wrong. And so wrong, in fact, that it even either denies the people, well, the reception of the sacraments called excommunication in this world, and they don't repent, even eternal salvation in the life to come. And that is why I thought this is the place where I would emphasize what I know is on the Pope's mind, even as we talk about involving, and we can't involve the lay people too much in the Church's apostolate, but But they must be authentically, honest to God, Catholic people who believe in Jesus Christ, believe in the teachings of His church, and who respect, to put it mildly, the right of that church to pass laws and demand obedience to what the state teaches just the opposite. There's only one question for me. I don't think I've ever said this publicly before. Only one question. How long the Catholic Church will survive in America? Barring a miracle, not long. We're caving in, caving in, caving in. And this is where the word courageously that we used before, or now, where the Pope insists on the indispensable need for recognizing the difference between those in authority who are sacramentally ordained, who have powers from Christ, and those who have authority indeed. But the only authority they have is either to imprison or kill you. That's the only power the state has. But, dear God, the state has no right to deprive me of my faith. I've been praying since my first Mass for dying for the faith. But let me tell you, without being more autobiographical than I should, and I'm not indulging in hyperbole, you remain firm to your Catholic faith, no matter what your position in life is, and you open your mouth and you say what needs to be said with all the kindness and gentleness at your disposal. You remain firm and you're going to pay for it dearly, dearly, deeply. I know. And this is where you land. Dear God, support us, bishops and priests, who want to remain loyal to Jesus Christ. Support us. I don't mean financially. Keep your money. With your faith and your dedication to what Christ wants, and be willing to pay the price. I had a board meeting in Chicago until 4 o'clock. We can go Friday. I was to have been in Seattle, Washington on Friday, but I couldn't be because I had to be in Chicago for the board meeting. So when I finished the board meeting, I took the earliest flight I could to Seattle. And when I got there, yes, 3 hours passed. Detroit time. 3 hours in the morning. Detroit time. Had a conference and several hours of confessions. And I told the people, this is an inspiration for you people to come here. You are worth any effort I spend. You're worth it. We priests need you more than you realize. all of this is behind the Pope's encouragement, but also his qualification to recognize the distinction between those who have sacramental ordination and those who don't. Number five. Well, we've just finished it. Recognize the sacramental limits and difference of charism and ecclesial robes. Number six. We can increase the communion and unity of the Church. Memorize this by clericizing the lay faithful or by laicizing priests. There are five volumes hidden behind those two words of the Pope. You get the Pope's ideas? And making clergy out of everyone nowadays, and of course the feminist women are on the vanguard. Their women will never attend Mass. So they tell you. Because it's said by a man, priest. And this is where we've got to realize the devil has really penetrated into the sacred circles of the Church. You don't solve the Church's problems by making priests out of lay people, or vice versa, by making lay people out of priests. Pray that priests will wear their clerics, would you? And kindly but gently, I'm going to recommend buying some woolen collars for your priest friends. The Church needs priestly priests. Number seven, next column. For some time now, it has been customary to use the word, and this is where the Pope really lets loose. In the full text, he says much more. Has been customary to use the word ministries, not only for the officia and munera, that means the duties and responsibilities exercised by baptisters in virtue of the sacrament of orders, but also for those exercised by the lay faithful in virtue of the baptismal priesthood. The terminological question becomes even more complex and delicate when all the faithful are recognized as having the possibility of supplying, by official deputation given by pastors, certain functions more proper to clerics. Like what? Like distributing Holy Communion. He's no more the largest parish in this jungle, but part of the 9-0 tells me they've got 40 extraordinary ministers in that one parish. I've concelebrated Mass because I have to be careful whom I concelebrate with. You never know what the other priests are liable to do. But where? Lay people give communion to the priests. So I told the woman to sit down. Well, here in the joint archdiocese. Time came for communion. Eight stalwart women, and they were big women, came around the altar. I'm not exaggerating. They shoved me out of the way. Well, I'm not easily shoved. I stood my ground. If all eight had worked together, they could have picked me up and carried me off. And the people watched this. It was a scandal. To steal the power from priests. And so many priests, may God help them, like little boys, scared. In other words, the word ministry, especially in the English language, is being much abused. In fact, our seed is often blasphemously used. Number eight, it must be admitted that the language becomes doubtful, confused, and hence not helpful for expressing the doctrine of faith whenever the difference of essence and not merely of degree between the baptismal priesthood and the ordained priesthood is in any way obscured, and it is being consciously, deliberately, learnedly, widely obscured. You don't lose 8,000 priests in the United States without a reason. This is the single main reason. As young men tell me, why should I become a priest? These women are taking over. And in some places, that's literally true. Number nine. In the church and on behalf of the church, priests are a sacramental representation of Jesus Christ, the head and shepherd. And of course, as we know, the real dissatisfaction, and if you wish, is ultimately with God. Having made some people what they are, they would like to be something else. Number 10. Same paragraph. Hence, the services and ministries performed by the lay people are never, properly speaking, pastoral, not even when they supply for certain actions and certain concerns of the shepherd. Over the years now, I've been making a collection of parish bulletins. After about 3 years of doing this, I don't need any more. They just repeat themselves. In some dioceses, it's almost a pattern. In other words, the lay people, and especially lay women, I have to keep hammering away at this because of what's going on, are replacing the priests. Number 11. Next paragraph towards the end. Lay people should know how these tasks are existentially rooted in their baptismal ministry and nowhere else. In other words, you might say, well, gosh, why the Pope bring this up when he's talking about the lay apostolate? Why all this stress on what seems to be, well, just the opposite? Oh, no. There is so much work to be done by the laity in evangelizing and catechizing. And so much work to be done by the priests and the deacons. The deacons should be the principal extraordinary ministers. I think I've told you, the United States has more deacons, more ordained deacons, than the whole rest of the church put together. And one reason behind that is, I know from the origins of the movement to get deacons approved by Vatican II was to break down priestly celibacy. Because while the first choice of deacons is to have celibates ordained deacons, almost no celibates ordained deacons, they are married men. When I get invitations to the ordination of a deacon, the first list is the wives, and then, kind of an afterthought, also the deacons. In other words, the rootage, the foundation for the lay apostolate is in two sacraments. It is in baptism and confirmation. And there is so much work to be done.